Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Hello and welcome to the television version of our Inside the Huddle podcast. We're coming to you from the Super Bowl Media Center in Houston, Texas. We're looking ahead to Super Bowl 51, the New England Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday. I'm joined by my regular podcast partner and our resident Sky Sports coach, Jeff Rimebold. And right from the start, a very special guest, the all-pro punter of the New Orleans Saints, Thomas Morstead. Thomas, we even laid on New Orleans Saints backdrop for you. You think you're in this picture somewhere?
Yeah, I think I'm this helmet right back here. That's my traditional spot. I kind of try and stay out of the noise a little bit.
What's it feel like to be back around the Super Bowl?
Well, you can definitely feel the energy building. It's, you know, you try to not pay attention to that, but you can feel it as the week goes on. It'll kind of build, and you're just trying to stay steady. So I'm just disappointed I'm not playing.
That's why everyone has that feeling. When you talk to players, they like watching it, but they always want to be there, of course. Jeff, this feels a little bit like the calm before the storm, because later in the week, there'll be enough hot air in here to launch one of those NASA rockets, but not quite yet.
It's a ghost town right now, but hang around now, because by Wednesday, it'll be a sea of people. There'll be all kinds of celebrities walking through here. Of course, we have Neil already, celebrity in his own right. But it is going to be fun all week.
We're taking shots already. Early on, first one on a Monday. I like it, Jeff. Thomas, players talk all the time about routine, your creatures of habit. What is a Super Bowl week like? Because say, take somebody like Tom Brady, for instance, who will meet with the media once per week. He's going to have media commitments all through this week. What's it like as a player?
Well, I can't speak from Tom Brady's perspective.
You wish.
But, you know, I think the big thing as a player, especially if you're a guy that's been around for a while, is you understand trying to stay in your routine as best you possibly can. You know, that's impossible to do it exactly how normal week is. There's so many details of your week that will be different and that are mandated by the league. But, you know, you just try and stay as much in your normal routine as you can. And, you know, I think the team that's able to do that gives himself a good shot.
Jeff, this guy had one of the most iconic plays in Super Bowl history, that onside kick. We'll talk about that in a moment, the one against the Indianapolis Colts to start the second half. But you do want to keep players in their routine, don't you, as a coach?
Yeah, and again, what's interesting, when we talked to Thomas about Sean Payton's approach, yeah, when they came over here, it was actually kind of flies in the face of what typically coaches do. If you have the week off of the Pro Bowl and then have Super Bowl week, typically you want to get all your game planning done and in at your facility and then come on the road, because it is different every time. You know, Atlanta's at Rice University. You know, New England's at Houston University, but that's not their normal environment. Right. So you want that in. They went another way.
Yeah, tell us what Sean Payton did.
Yeah, I just remember, you know, I was a rookie, so I was just trying to stay in my lane and not be the one to screw up. But I just remember that we put the game plan in just as if it was a normal week. So we didn't put stuff in 10 or 11 or 12 days before the
early
Super Bowl game. Yeah, we just had our normal routine of the week. So I think the idea behind that was not letting all of this information kind of get stale early in the week.
Right.
It was to kind of build as just as if you would for any other game, as you're trying to build and polish off at the end of the week and then peak ready for game time.
Of course, one of the things that happened at the back end of last week, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, he met with all of the family members,
yeah,
before they flew down here to Houston. Is that normal, and what's the purpose for that?
Sure. I mean, we did that the year we went, and I thought it was brilliant by Coach. You know, he basically said, hey, we're going to get all the wives and the girlfriends and people that support the players throughout the year and say, hey, we can't do this without you. We can't do it without you. We need you, because there's going to be so many distractions. My year, we were allowed to buy 15 Super Bowl tickets.
Right.
So that's a lot of family, and you know, you kind of treat it as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so you want all those people to be there. It's not like, for me, it wasn't a burden, but it is expending energy worrying about if grandma's getting her room right or different things like that. And so he just kind of got all the families together and kind of almost said, hey, we need you guys. We've needed you all year to support us. We need you now to help us kind of let the players focus purely on the game. And they gave them all the details. We chartered a plane four wives, girlfriends, and family members that everybody could pay a certain price to leave out of New Orleans and be with the friends and family playing. So a lot of cool details that went into it that allowed the player to not be concerned with what was going on outside.
Jeff, you've been involved in many championship games in the CFL. Is it that same kind of thing? You want to lift as much off these guys as you can.
I'm going to tell you who the most busy guys are right now. It's all of the operations people around the team, because what you want as a coach and what you're desperate for as a player is to keep those distractions away from you. It's so difficult for family members to understand the amount of pressure and preparation and detail that you're involved in, and you know, about dinner reservations and where the, you know, how to get here and how to get there. So all of the operations people around these two teams are working overtime. They probably enjoy this week the least of anybody,
right?
Because they've got the most difficult job to do, which is keep the noise to a minimum.
Absolutely. I mentioned that Thomas is an all-pro punter, a Pro Bowl punter, but I'm sure you get asked more questions than anything about that onside kick, Super Bowl 44 in Miami to start the second half against the Indianapolis Colts. Tell us the story about how you practiced it during the week. When did you know you were going to do it?
So, you know, my rookie year was the first year I ever kicked off in the NFL. And we were always ahead in games for a majority of the season. We won our first 13 games to start the season off.
Yeah.
So we kicked off a lot, and we weren't exactly being risky with onside kicks and different things like that. And so we had never done anything like that. And I just remember John Carney was with us as a kicker, and they kept him on as a coach for the last few games of the year and through the playoffs to work with our young kicker, Garrett Hartley. And he had remembered Lindo Mare hitting the same kick against this when Lindo played for the Saints and John was with Jacksonville in 07.
Right.
And we pulled the film up and he said, hey, this is a way I think we can get him. And so I started practicing it maybe 10 days before the Super Bowl. It was the first time I'd hit it. And, you know, I hit 5 to 10 every day. But I always made sure my first rep of practice was in team, because I can't practice it before I kick it in the game.
Right.
So I would do that, and then it always worked in practice. So
when did they tell you you were going to call that play?
At the beginning of of halftime, which was excruciatingly long because of the halftime show, the Who were playing. And so I was just, I don't take my helmet off during games because I don't like to kind of check out of the zone. And I was just sitting in my locker like this, just, you know, pacing. My heart rate was going. But by the time I got out to the field, I was feeling confident about it. And, you know, it had, every time coach had called us up to do it in team, I'd always hit it how I wanted to. And so I felt confident about it. And it was just kind of about controlling the energy and anxiety that you're
feeling. Yeah. And, Jeff, that's the part that's fascinating, because if you're a tight end, who your number gets called in the huddle on fourth, say it's fourth and goal on the one, and they're going to run a play action pass to the tight end, you're thinking about that for 30 seconds maybe, not close to 30 minutes.
Not only does he have to think about it for 30 minutes, right? If you got a pass play designed to the tight end, there's alternative places to go with
the ball.
When you're kicking an onside kick, you're in front of 300 million people or whatever it is to watch the game, and now it's down to you making that kick because there is no second option. You got to make the kick. And it was a phenomenal kick, and Hank Basket didn't make the play, but you got to watch it. Google it, go to YouTube and see it, because off in the back, the celebration, Thomas's celebration is absolutely priceless.
I look like a little ballerina, you know, prancing up and down. I was so just thankful.
Relieves the joy.
The scrum lasted over a minute.
Yeah.
And so that in real time felt like 5 minutes of just panic. I tried to. You can see my shoulder pads get ripped back. But just when we had that ball, Chris Reese recovered it. And I don't know if you've seen Remember the Titans, where they hold that ball up in the lights when they've won the game. He held it right up into the lights in the Miami Stadium. And I remember just tugging around him saying, I love you, Chris. You know, just so thankful.
What's cool about this game is that will never be taken away from you.
It'll change your life. It'll define your career.
Look at Malcolm Butler a couple of years ago.
No question. Thomas will always, no matter what happens in the rest of his career, he can be a Pro Bowler for 9 more years. That one play will always be Thomas's play. And that's what this game, the magnitude of this game can do. Just like when you think of, you know, there was a tight end, Dallas had a tight end named Johnson that was a great player at St. Louis for years and years and years. And at the back of the end zone, he was a great tight end. Back of the end zone, he has a chance to make a sliding catch to win the Super Bowl. Boom. Off it goes.
The commentator said he must be the sickest man in America.
Yeah, right? You remember that? Yeah, and that's what he will be remembered for forever and ever.
And that's what this game does, though, because you look at Malcolm Butler a couple of years ago. Go back to the 80s. Timmy Smith, a running back who exploded for the Redskins.
Never to be heard of again.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me personally was... On an individual level, anytime you deal with anxiety in a game or the pressure mounting in a game and it's you got to have it, I can always go back to that and draw on that, hey, I executed how I needed to execute in that moment and I was able to handle it. And it gives you confidence that you've been there before. And then on the team aspect is just the brotherhood that we created and made that we went for it. We didn't play not to lose. We played to win.
And you know what you think about it? Now, just from a pure schematic football thing, you do it on natural grass, and that is the hardest surface to execute that kick on because of the way the ball may not bounce. You may not get that good bounce you're looking for. So it is one of the most iconic plays in 51 years of Super Bowls.
And you didn't think he could be a kickoff specialist?
Yeah, how good a coaching were we at SMU? He can't kick off.
It's the Atlanta Falcons against the New England Patriots. Jeff, I was down at the Pro Bowl talking to players down there, and they use that phrase a lot, chess match. This could be that kind of game.
Yeah, because you look at it, and it's such a conflict between two direct opposites. You got the Atlanta Falcons, who can throw it all over the yard, score from anywhere, got a quarterback having an MVP year. On the other side, you got a great quarterback, but you also got a great defense. And maybe, and this is a tall statement to make, but if you go back through the history of great defensive coaches in the National Football League, Bill Belichick has to be in that conversation.
Yeah. Well, we look at this game, and it's the number one score in offense with Falcons against the number one score in defense with the New England Patriots. And in the past, defenses have had the better of those matchups, and Bill Belichick was an assistant on one of those occasions. I think the defense is 4-1 in those games, and he was a defensive assistants when the Giants shut down the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25, and then of course his Patriots shut down the Rams, one of the greatest show on turf.
The game in New Orleans.
Yeah, so Thomas, does defense always come out on top in these games? Do you think that can be the case this time? Or is this a different animal with this Falcons team?
Well, I think that's why the game's so exciting. You got no idea what's going to happen. You know, some games are projected to be low scoring and they're not. You just don't know if a team gets out to a big lead and then all of a sudden the other team gets aggressive and how does that change. So it's just exciting because, you know, these teams have both earned the right to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think what's interesting about this game is that both teams' offenses are in the top two or three in yards after the catch, whereas that the Falcons give up almost bottom of the league yards after the catch, and the Patriots don't. So
that's a great point.
It'll
the
be interesting
don't miss
to see.
Many tackles, do they?
Right. And so, but also they may not have played a team on offense that has the type of speed that Atlanta has.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how you.
You evaluate it, Neil, and it's interesting from a coaching standpoint. You think, okay, Belichick's going to go back to 99,
right?
Back to the future.
Yep.
Go back to 99 when he took the greatest show on turf. And not shut it down, but I think they scored.
He forced Mike Martz to run. Mike Martz didn't.
Right,
and you wonder if the Falcons.
Well, that is going to be Kyle Shanahan's challenge now.
Yeah.
And now again, when you look at that though, that was a different time in the NFL. If you remember, that's when you could be much more physical on
receivers.
And if you think about that game, the Patriots secondary just climbed up in those St. Louis receivers and beat them all up. It actually changed the rules. The competition committee made it much more restrictive on defensive players after that game.
We'll obviously dig into the game as we go through the course of this week and look at all aspects of Super Bowl 51, but I love the history of the NFL, and I love the history of Super Bowls, and this has another historic feel to it, Thomas. Tom Brady can be going for Super Bowl number 5. Same for Bill Belichick as a head coach. Talk about Matt Ryan coming into this year, where he was only 1-4 in the playoffs, and now this is, again, goes back to that made Malcolm Butler famous. It's legacy, isn't it, for some of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know as a player if guys are thinking about that. At the end of the day, being a part of a team
that's
that
what
wins,
we're doing here for the whole week, right?
but a team that wins a Super Bowl together, it's a lifelong bond that can. It's like you guys said, you can't take it away. And when I see teammates that I haven't seen in 3, 4, 5, 6 years. You're almost to tears when you see them because right. It takes you right back to those times that were so special. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you can't take that away. So, you know, I think guys are just motivated to just to be a part of something special because one of the things I do remember from my rookie year was being told there's a time to party and there's a time to be about business.
Right.
And real pros know the difference. And guys that had been to the Super Bowl and had lost it said it'll be the worst memory. One of the worst memories you'll ever have, having been through that whole week and having such a special time with your family, doing all these different experiences, and then losing the game.
Yeah.
And so I really remember that stuck with me that, you know what, I want this to be one of the best memories of my professional career.
You know what, I was talking to Byron Hunt, who played 9 years for the Giants and won a Super Bowl with the Giants, and that's exactly what he said. He was on a great SMU team, national championship SMU team, but that's what he talked about this week, the fun part of this week for him, was when those Giants teammates got back together
right. And
they get a chance.
About it, right?
Exactly. And they experience what you talked about.
Does experience matter in this game, do you think? Because Tom Brady's playing in his 7th Super Bowl. Matt Ryan's playing in his 1st. If you look at the numbers, there's 22 players on the Patriots roster that have played in a Super Bowl. Atlanta, just 4. Is that, again, just stuff that we're going to talk about in here, Thomas, or can it be translated?
Well, look,
into something?
I think anytime you've done something before, there's an advantage inherently in that. But also, I think that, you know, sometimes being young and dumb is a great quality,
and
that's what I
sometimes being old and dumb.
I was gonna say, forget about the young bit.
But I, you know, if you almost don't even understand the gravity of it for
right. So
many people, for the organization, for your city, all the things that you can really sit down and think about. I remember being a rookie and just keeping my blinders on, and I was like, all I'm going to do this week is punt great,
yeah.
And that's it. And so, you know, if you're able to do that, you know, I think it maybe doesn't have as big an impact.
You know what, and I'm going to tell you something. Another thing is interesting. You talk about Quinn being a young head coach,
right. Second
year as a head coach. But remember now, this is his third Super Bowl.
Third out of the last four,
out of the last four. So he's been through this week. He's been through all of these things. Even though he's got a team with, I think, what'd you say, Neil? You knew the numbers.
Four players
have been to Super Bowls.
Isn't it incredible, just while we're talking numbers, Bill Belichick's been part of 10 Super Bowls now as an assistant and as head coach, 20% of all Super Bowls. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is phenomenal.
I'll tell you what, while we're talking numbers, Jeff, we used to do this on our podcast a few years back. It's meaningless or meaningful stats.
Oh, boy,
stats.
I love this.
All right, because you know I love a statistic. So I'm going to give you a fact or a statistic for Super Bowl 51. You can tell me if it's meaningful or meaningless.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to start. Atlanta have not beaten New England since week 10 of 1998.
That's meaningless.
Absolutely meaningless.
All right.
They're in different different conferences, you know. That's once every 4 years.
I'm going to try not to, when you say meaningless, not to take it personal, but I'm going to give you that one.
Wait,
Brady's 4-0 against
Atlanta. You're just reading the news.
That's true. I'm just setting you up. So if you take the combined quarterback rating of every quarterback the Patriots have faced this year, that quarterback would rank 23rd in the NFL. The Patriots have not faced a top 10 quarterback. Meaningful or meaningless?
I'll let you answer that first.
I think it's meaningful. I really think it's meaningful. And I think it's particularly meaningful in this game where you have so many weapons for a great quarterback to access. Now, if you had a lesser quarterback with all those weapons, obviously, you know, you're not as worried. Now,
yeah. You
got a great quarterback with one guy you got to take away. Okay, you can handle that. Now, you got this bunch of receivers and two backs like they got, it's going to be a handful.
Are you pleading the Fifth Amendment?
I'm going to plead the Fifth on this one.
All right. You got to answer the next one then.
All right.
All right. Super Bowl teams who win the turnover battle are 37-4 in Super Bowls.
I would say that's meaningful. Absolutely.
Yeah. These two teams have just 11 turnovers each this season,
right.
Fewest in the NFL.
And I would say you know, typically good teams don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And so that's probably been both of these teams' recipes or a big part of their recipe. I just have these stats ingrained, but I know plus one in an NFL game, take all the other stats out, is an 83% winner. So that means 5 out of 6, you're winning.
That might be the most meaningful one I come up with all week, Jeff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I really believe that. And I think Thomas is right. You talk about 80% of every game, it's if you're just plus one.
Yeah.
What's amazing to me, Neil, when you throw that number out there, I can get it with the Patriots because the ball never really goes down the field very far. But when you start talking about throwing the ball into coverage and attacking vertically like Atlanta does and still have as few turnovers as they have, that's phenomenal football.
All right, last one, fellas. New England had no offensive or defensive players named to the All-Pro team this year. Is that meaningless or meaningful?
I would say that's meaningful for them as saying, hey, that they don't care what that means. I mean, that just shows how good of a team that they are, that they're going to all do their job. You don't need to have a whole bunch of Pro Bowlers to make the Super Bowl. I mean, if you look at our Super Bowl team, we just had, you know, obviously great coach, great quarterback, and a number of good players. But we just had guys that loved each other, that were playing for each other, and that were going to be where they were supposed to be doing the job they were supposed to do. And if you have a great quarterback and a great coach with a team that all believes that and drinks the same Kool-Aid, you got a chance.
All right, Kansas City. I'm at Kansas City. We're in training camp. Coach Vermeil gets up, and he goes every evening. He goes through a series of things talking about what's important in winning in the National Football League. And one of the things that he impressed the players on was, fellas, he had the statistics, and I'm again, I can't give you numbers, but he said, this is how many people watch the Pro Bowl. This is how many people watch the Super Bowl. What do you think really matters?
Yeah.
Winning championships matters.
Right.
Not who's a bet, not who's voted to the Pro Bowl or all. It's winning championship team football.
Yeah, Patriots have one All-Pro that was special teamer, Matthew Slater. Guys, just as we wrap up this edition of our Inside the Huddle podcast, it's going to be interesting as the fans start to roll into Houston later in the week because, Jeff, I'm full of stats today. Here's another one for you. Since the Falcons were formed in 1966, the city of Atlanta has one major sports championship, the Braves in 95, Boston has 18. So those Atlanta fans, I mean, every Super Bowl is special, but for Atlanta fans, they must be rabid for success.
All right, it's fantastic you ask that question because I talked to June Jones. Now, June Jones played quarterback for the Falcons and was the head coach of the Falcons, took him to a playoff game, right? And I said, June, what do you think it really means to that city, right? You played there, you coached there, you were an assistant there. And he said, I don't think people understand just how much that will mean to the community. And I think New Orleans, well, your Super Bowl team, even more after post-Katrina and all the craziness, but I really think that for those cities like in the South, Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa, being a Super Bowl champion is a big, big deal.
All right, we are out of time, I'm afraid, on our first of the week, our Inside the Huddle. Jeff, you're going to make a prediction later in the week. Thomas, do you know who you think you're leaning towards in this game just as we wrap up?
Come on now. You cannot plead the fifth on this
one. I'm not.
I'm really worried about him. I thought he was an engineer at SMU, not
a
lawyer.
I can't plead
the fifth.
Falcons or Patriots?
Patriots.
All right, the New England Patriots. Thomas, great job. Thanks for joining us. Great to have you here again. Joined us on Sky Sports a few weeks ago. That's Thomas Morstead, Jeff Reinbold. This has been Inside the Huddle, and we'll catch you tomorrow. We'll be back on Radio Row here in the Super Bowl Media Center. Until then, it's bye for now. Bye-bye.